जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जाना वाला भागी वरधा गोपी जाना वाला भागिरी वरधारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना वाला गिरिवर धारी गोपी जाना वाला गिरिवर यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन यमुना तीरावन चारिया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे Radhe Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari bol, Nitai Gaur, Hari bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Shishi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Jayam Vishnupad Parahamsa Parivrajak Acharya Sotatara Shishri Madhuri Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivinoda Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Parahamsa Parivrajak Acharya Sotatara Shishri Mad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jay Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jay Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jay Prem Sakho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Gaurdham Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maiya Ki Jai Yamuna Maiya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktarinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande All Gaurs Assembled Devotees All Gaurs Assembled Devotees All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the merciful, loving grace of Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Jai Prabhupada. So Hare Krishna, dear devotees. My name is Nitai Das. I'm visiting from Denver. And I have been asked to give the class today. And although I am junior and unqualified in most ways, before the august assembly of Vaishnavas assembled here, I humbly beg all of your blessings that I may speak something of substance on the string of verses today. We're speaking on Canto 3, Chapter 4, Texts 4 to 8. Aham chop. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text 4. Aham chokto bhagavata.
Aham chokto bhagavata.
Prapannarti harenaha.
Prapannarti harenaha.
Badarim tvam prayahiti.
Badarim tvam prayahiti.
Swakulam sanghihurshana.
Swakulam sanghihurshana.
Aham chokto bhagavata.
Aham chokto
Prapannarti harenaha.
Badarim tvam prayahiti.
Swakulam sanghihirshuna. Aham chokto bhagavata. Prapannarti harenaha. Badarim tvam prayahiti.
Badarim tvam prayahiti.
Swakulam sanghihirshuna.
Swakulam sanghihirshuna.
Please chant.
Aham
prakta bhagavata.
Aham
prakta bhagavata.
By the Supreme Lord.
Prapanna. of the surrendered.
Arti Harena.
By he who is the vanquisher of the distresses.
Ha.
Indeed. Badrim. To Badri. Tvam. You. Prayahi. Should go. Iti. Thus. Swakulam.
His own family.
Sangji Hirshana.
Who desired to destroy.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto Him. Thus, he who desired to destroy his family told me previously to go to Badrikashram. Purport. While at Dwarka, Uddhava was warned to avoid the distresses which were to follow the disappearance of the Lord and the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He was advised to proceed to Badrikashram because there he could associate with the devotees of Naranarayan, and in their association of devotional service, he could increase his eagerness for chanting, hearing, knowledge, and detachment. Text 5. Tathapi tadabhi pretam janam. That's what I was going to do. All together? Okay. Tathapi tadabhi pretam jananaham arindama prashtato namagamam bhartu pada vishlekhanakshama. Yet in spite of my knowing his desire to destroy the dynasty, O Arindama, Vidura, I followed him because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of the master. Adraksham mekam asinam vichinvandaitam patim shiniketam sarasvatyam krutaketam aketanam. Thus following, I saw my patron and master, Lord Shri Krishna, sitting alone and deeply thinking, taking shelter on the bank of the river Saraswati, although he is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. Purport. Those who are in the renounced order of life often take shelter underneath a tree. The Lord was found by Uddhava in that condition of taking shelter, as do persons who have no shelter. Because he is the proprietor of everything, everywhere is his shelter, and everywhere is under his shelter. The entire material and spiritual cosmic manifestation is sustained by him, and therefore he is the shelter of everything. So there was nothing astonishing in his taking shelter in the way of the unsheltered who are in the renounced order of life. Shyama vadatam virajam prashantarunalochanam durbishchaturbhirvidhitam pita kaushambarenasha. The Lord's body is blackish, but is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish, like the rising morning sun. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations, and yellow silk garments. Vama Urav Adishitya Dakshinangri Saroruham Apashitarbhavakshastam Akrisham Tvakkapi Palam. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree, with his right lotus foot on his left thigh. And although he had left all household comforts, he looked quite cheerful in that posture. Report. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord's sitting posture, keeping his back against the newly grown banyan tree, is also meaningful. Ashwatha, the banyan tree, is so called because the tree does not die very quickly. It continues to live for many, many years. His legs and their energies are the material ingredients, which are five in all, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. The material energies represented by the banyan tree are all products of his external potency and are therefore kept to his back. And because this particular universe is the smallest of all, the banyan tree is therefore designated as small, or as a child. Dvyakva Pipalam indicates that he had now finished his pastimes in this particular small universe. But since the Lord is absolute and eternally blissful, there is no difference between his leaving or accepting something. The Lord was now prepared to leave this particular universe and go into another, just as the sun rises on one particular planet and sets in another simultaneously, but does not change its own situation. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Giridharaja Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadita Shrativesha Tarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Paribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patita Nam Padanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So thank you again for this opportunity for my purification. So we are discussing in the Bhagavatam the Moshala Leela. And this is the pastime of the Lord and his family's disappearance from the material vision and the framework of the material world. When Krishna descends to this planet, to the material world, he does so through the agency of the internal energy. And so it was also through the agency of the internal energy that he arranged for the destruction of his own family, his dynasty, the Yadu dynasty. As we covered in yesterday's class, you know, the Yadus, they became mildly inebriated, a little tipsy, you can say, by drinking this rice, fermented rice drink. And a verbal altercation ensued between two persons, and that snowballed into a full-fledged fight, physical combat, ultimately resulting in the death of the entire dynasty. And the Yadus, they used weapons that had grown from the banks of that place, that river, iron-like sticks of bamboo, it is said. And there's a history behind the iron-like sticks of bamboo, too. Those sticks had grown from ground-up ore, and that ore was originally generated. The genesis of that was from a prank that was played by the members of the Yadu youth against some sages. So you can see it's quite a orchestrated event. So here in these verses, we see that the Lord is sitting on the bank of the river Saraswati, and he's sitting in a yogic posture, his back against a banyan tree, a small banyan tree that represents the universe. And he's sitting like a renunciant in complete poise. And he's described as peaceful and cheerful. And Uddhava has been instructed to go to Badrikashram, but he wants to catch a glimpse of his beloved Lord and Master, the Lord, one last time before the Lord disappears, because it's imminent. He wants to see the Lord's infathomable beauty. And the Lord is sitting in a way that his right foot is touching his left thigh, and his left foot is down. And that left foot becomes a target of Jara's arrow. And when Jara's arrow hits his left foot, it draws some blood, and then the Lord leaves this world in this way. We can see that even in the Battle of Kurukshetra, when there was fierce warfare going on between Bhishma and Arjuna, Bhishma had casted some arrows onto the Lord. And also blood had been drawn at that time too. But that blood, that offering of the arrows, was accepted by the Lord as the bites of a lover. So when the Lord leaves, he even leaves a body. And this is meant to confuse the impersonalists and the demoniac, who are inclined to think that the Lord has just assumed a human body like ours, that the Lord is no different than us. But this is just part of the play. Because the Lord is engaged in a drama. He comes here with a specific purpose. He had finished his business in this universe. He had given shelter to the numerous devotees. He had engaged in loving pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan Bhumi, Dwarka Bhumi. He had killed, he had vanquished numerous demons throughout the course of his manifest pastimes. And ultimately, he had installed the righteous to leadership. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chudhistitam dharma samstarpanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So these three purposes he had completed. Yudhisthira was now rightfully installed on the throne, and the future of the world was as the Lord saw fit. So in this drama, the Lord is playing the role of a human. Apparently he has a birth, and apparently he has a death. But we should turn to the scripture to appropriately understand what it is that is happening. Right? We have to see through the eyes of scripture, shastra chakshusha. We see through the medium of hearing. So what does the scripture say? So I turn you to the 11th canto, text 31, text 11. And I'll read, if you'd like to follow along on your phones. I'll read the verse in the purport. Rajan parasya tanubrijana napyayeha maya vidambanam avehi yatha nakasya shushvatmanedam anuvishya vihritya chande samhritya chatma mahino paratas aste. The translation says, my dear king, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. The word in Sanskrit for that is natasya. Canto 11, chapter 31, text 11. So, natasya, nata. Nata means like a play. Right? So he's an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays within it for some time, and last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of the cosmic manifestation. And we see a similar statement in the last line of today's purport. The Lord was now prepared to leave this particular universe and go into another, just as the sun rises on one particular planet and sets in another simultaneously, but does not change its own situation. So we understand how the Lord is enacting his pastime. It's a traveling rodeo show, you can say. He has completed his activities in this realm, in this universe, this small universe, and he is going on to another universe to do the same thing again. And this is different from our own situations. He's not bound by karmic reaction. He's not forced to take birth to enjoy the pious activities of a previous lifetime or suffer the reactions as well. And he's maintaining his position as Supreme Controller, and he is exhibiting his Satchitananda form, his form of beauty, knowledge, and bliss. And we can also understand that similarly, the great teachers, our acharyas in our line, are also doing the same thing. It's said that those who are truly purified are under the direction of the Lord's divine energy, and that they have a spiritual body, so that they don't die the same way we die. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound to spread the holy name around. So the Lord has a specific purpose, and also his deputed representatives, the acharyas, also had the same purpose. So then this begs the question, why? Why would the Lord enact what appears to be on the surface such a painful leela? Because this is also a leela of his. Why is he doing this? And one explanation that occurred to me is that he does this to heighten the intensity of the loving emotion between himself and his devotees. The loving emotion of serving him in separation, Ripalamba. Ripalamba Bhav is the ecstasy of serving in separation, which is greater than that of service in union. The Lord is the mitigator of his devotees' distresses. He had wanted Uddhava to go to Bhadrikashram. He didn't want to subject him to this painful pastime. He wanted to spare him from seeing the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. But Uddhava, his heart, belongs to the Lord. And so he could not bear separation from his beloved. He sought out the Lord to drink the nectar of his beauty, the beauty of his Ishtadev, one final time before he heads out to Bhadrikashram. So, this is a very high topic, Gripalamba, and Srila Prabhupada has explained through the medium of several examples the nature of it, the character of it. So I'd like to draw upon some examples at this time, just to flesh out the discussion of Gripalamba, starting with the topmost devotees of the Lord, the gopis. It's said that the gopis, after having performed the rasa dance with the Lord, they weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied with just being with the Lord in the nighttime. Even during the day, their hearts would go out with him when he went cowherding with the cowherd boys. The Lord would go out and take the cows, and the gopis would be pining, thinking about Krishna. What is he doing? What is he going to eat? What about the pebbles on the ground, the splinters that will pierce his foot? And so their meditation was completely focused and absorbed on Krishna throughout the daytime. And when the opportune time presented itself in the dead of night, when Krishna would play on his flute, they would go chasing after him, not caring for any social conventions. If they were taking care of their child, they would drop the child. If they were cooking some meal, or they would forget about the meal. And those that were restricted from going would, out of deep separation, would leave their bodies. The gopis are superlative devotees. They illustrate to us the degree of pining, the degree of yearning to be with Krishna, to serve him in any circumstance. The next example is Queen Kunti. After the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna had spent a substantial amount of time with the Pandavas in their kingdom. And he had decided to take leave, and he was asked to stay. And so he stayed for some time, but inevitably the time came for him to go back to his kingdom, to go back to Dwarka. So Krishna is mounting the chariot to return, and Queen Kunti approaches him and offers exalted, heartfelt prayers that illustrate the profundity and high caliber of devotion that she has within. And what is she asking for? She's asking, Krishna, please sever my affection. Sever my affection for my own family members, the Vrishnis, who are themselves devotees. Please rid me of these family ties so that my love can flow to you just like the Ganges flows unobstructed as it descends from the Himalayas. This in and of itself is so beautiful, but she says, please let there come repeated calamities again and again so that we may call out to you with feeling and intensity. Because if we're calling out to you, if we're in a material distress, then we think of none other than you, and for one who thinks of you with such yearning, you are sure to come to save us, as he had done. Through the Mahabharata, we learn how many times Krishna came to the rescue of the Pandavas. And finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra. Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna playing the role of a devotee. He wants to experience the mood of Srimati Radharani, the intensity. He wants to experience the intensity of her love. And so he has taken on this mood. And when he was pulling the card of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, it was in that spirit that he was taking Krishna, who at that time was dressed in warrior regalia. He's dressed as a warrior. He's pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan from Dwarka, back to the life of a cowherd boy. Sriman Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis, their mood is not one of satisfaction with their spiritual status. They're not complacent that they have Krishna, that Krishna is in their possession. Even though Krishna is in their possession, but they don't think that way. They think, I don't have Krishna, I need to find Krishna. The Goswamis were crying out for Krishna, searching for him. They exhibit this mood of complete dependence and acceptance of Krishna's sweet will over their own personal agenda and desires. And in so doing, through their example, they provide for us a goal and a yardstick with which to measure our own progress and evolution in spiritual life. It's said in the Shikshastakam, verse 8, Mahaprabhu has written, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace and makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything. And the Goswamis, in the 8th verse of the Goswami Ashtakam, said they were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, O Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O Son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. So one can take whatever circumstance one experiences in life, and the circumstance of loss is ubiquitous. We all have material bodies, and we have all sustained a loss of a loved one, a loss of a friend. This is the nature of the material world. But we can take this loss and understand it, that it is a means by which we can increase our devotion to Krishna. That these losses can be used to catalyze spiritual growth in us. I'd like to conclude with a discussion of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, Leela, and how he used a certain circumstance that took place prior to his manifest disappearance to draw out the love from the devotees. Because we see here, Krishna is using his own disappearance to draw out Uddhava's love, and so Srila Prabhupada also did this with his own disciples. And this is recounted and explained by His Holiness Virat Swami in an essay that he wrote entitled Srila Prabhupada's Disappearance Leela, Drawing Out Love. As Holiness Virat Swami writes, "So although we feel separation, when that separation, our remembrance of Srila Prabhupada is heightened, and thus we experience the beauty of his presence in separation." So it just so happens that Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan and he was quite ill, he expressed a desire to travel by bullock cart to different holy places a few days before he was about to leave the planet. And he would start by going to Govardhan, to do Govardhan Parikrama. And the occasion of Gopuja was just around the corner. And so when the devotees that were present there before him heard this, they divided themselves into two camps. There was one camp that wanted to take him, that they felt that it was their duty to follow the order of the spiritual master without any question, not to prevail upon the spiritual master or to advise the spiritual master in any way. And then there were the other camp of devotees that thought that it's not a good idea to take Srila Prabhupada in his present physical condition on parikrama. They were concerned about his frail health. And the fact of the matter was that his body was gaunt. It was skin and bones. And so the journey of taking him on parikrama would cause an inevitable pain from the jostling around in the cart. And there was even the possibility that because it was so intense that he may leave his body as a result of that pain. So the controversy between these two camps, each side presenting their strong positions and opinions, it kept going back and forth until it came to a head when a cart was arranged to take Srila Prabhupada. And the opposing party was pleading with Srila Prabhupada to not go, and they enlisted the help of Akinchan Das Babaji Maharaj. Akinchan Das Babaji Maharaj is a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, the Paramahamsa. He had come to visit Srila Prabhupada to offer his respects. And so the opposing camp enlisted the help of Akinchan Das Babaji Maharaj to try to convince Srila Prabhupada not to go. So I'd like to read an excerpt of this conversation. So Bhakti Charu thought, "Let me appeal to Babaji Maharaj. If he asks Prabhupada not to go, then Prabhupada may listen." And when he explained the situation to Babaji Maharaj, Maharaj declared, then he shouldn't go. So the opinion of Akinchan Das Babaji Maharaj was that Srila Prabhupada wouldn't go. So Srila Prabhupada says, so do you all jointly request me not to go? Srila Prabhupada asked when Maharaj had conveyed his conclusion. Maharaj confirmed. We were all getting upset, Tamal Krishna agreed. Two devotees told me this road is so bad that if you go on it, you're just going to be jolted back and forth. The road is terrible. I just can't understand, Srila Prabhupada. Why is it that it has to be tomorrow that we have to go? If anybody wants you to travel, I do. But why do we have to go when you're in this condition? I can't understand it. All right, Srila Prabhupada said, I will not go. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda. I was in too much anxiety. No, I cannot put you in anxiety. I shall do what you like. That's Srila Prabhupada speaking. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna, we're so attached to you that you practically drive us to madness sometimes. Tonight, we were becoming mad. No, I shall not do that, Prabhupada said. And to Babaji Maharaj, he added, just see how much they love me. Left hand, right hand, I cannot refuse. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, the way you deal with us simply deepens our attachment every moment. And Srila Prabhupada replied, it is my duty. So Giriraj Swami continues in explanation. He says, the spiritual master is the transparent medium through which Krishna manifests himself. Of course, in Vraja Bhakti, the relationship with Krishna is different. In Vraja, Krishna exhibits Nataleela, human-like pastimes, in which there is complete intimacy and freedom between the devotees and the Lord. In the relationship between the disciples and the spiritual master, there is always an element of awe and reverence and duty. Still, duty is meant to lead to love. So I think that all the disciples in this controversy were acting on the basis of the realization of their devotion for Srila Prabhupada. But I believe that what Prabhupada really was doing was drawing out our loving sentiments beyond our just following the order. Following the order is a given. There is no question. We have to follow the order of the spiritual master. To disobey the order of the spiritual master is an offense against the holy name. It is a basic principle of spiritual life. So we are not talking about disobeying the order of the spiritual master. We are talking about developing loving feelings for the spiritual master and expressing them to him. So I thank you for your kind attention and the opportunity to present the class today. So you can take any critiques, questions, or comments at this time. Hare Krishna.
Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, in his book called Tank of Separation, he gave some anecdote. One was that he said, separation keeps the love alive. Very powerful.
Yes. We have a similar statement. Separation makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
Yes, Prabhu?
I was thinking, The demise of the Yadus, even though it may seem horrific to the ordinary mind, but because they were warrior in nature, I mean that type of act was relevant, you know. That's, and then even within the
expected.
Yeah, you know, I mean. For us, or for ordinary beings, it may seem very horrific, but for warriors, that's what they're looking for. You know, that's what they're, that's their nature. You see, and then what the Bhagavad Gita says, openness, the heavenly planet. All these were demigods, really, going back to the heavenly planets. That's my.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your very thought-provoking class. In the one of the purports, I believe Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord, under that tree, he displayed his forearm form. Isn't that, that's a little interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, go ahead then.
So my understanding of that is that this is, it's through the eyes of Uddhava. So Uddhava is seeing Krishna in this four-armed form, that it's his Ishtadev.
Really? Even though he's an intimate friend of Krishna. Yeah.
That's his desire, his bhava, is to see Krishna in that way.
I see. His master.
This is my understanding.
Hmm. Also, you said loss is ubiquitous. Does that mean it's all-pervading, it's everywhere,
it
in the material world?
It happens. It happens in the material world all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
The Srila Prabhupada was very much stressing that viraha or separation, vipalamba, than samboga, because there's other Gaudiya Vaishnavas who stress samboga, union in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada was actually stressing in many places. This is mentioned here in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 194. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. Purport. The essence of this transaction is that transient loving affairs are as relishable during separation as during conjugal enjoyment. So some would say, if there's too much separation, then everything will be lost. But then if there's too much association, then also everything can be lost, because you have to have both. So then it was talking about Gaur Govinda Maharaj in that Mathura Meets Vrindavan lectures. He said, praying is the fifth goal of human life, Purusha Artha. Viraha, separation, is the highest level of that praying. Viraha keeps prema alive. If there were no viraha, then prema would not exist. If there were to be always Milan or union, then a prema would meet an untimely death. Therefore, to keep prema alive, Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, putting the Vraj Gopis, the damsel of Vrajabhumi, headed by Radharani, in Viraha. That is Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, there would not have been the topmost experience of relishing loving affairs. Such topmost experience is in Viraha. So Prabhupada was, so we have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
That it's very important that that's the whole mood of the Jagannath Puri Leela.
Yes.
Is in the mood of separation. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu?
When Krishna disappeared from the gopis before the rasa dance, and then he came back, and he told them that he was Atma Rama, that he was not dependent on them, that he was that kind of lover. But in the Six Goswami's literature, like for example in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna is depicted in Dwarka as feeling very, very like lost because of his separation, and then Vishwakarma creates this new Vrindavan in Dwarka that so Krishna can feel. So which is it? Is Krishna really dependent on Radharani's love, or is he really fully independent?
This question is beyond my understanding.
Sesha sitting next to me laughed, so he must have something to say.
You want to go on forever? You can talk. You want to go on with forever discussing? You picked a topic.
If we want to go on forever discussing, then pick the topic to discuss.
He said we could go on forever.
Yes, he said we could go on forever discussing the topic. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Okay, my dear devotees, thank you again. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.